דף חס עמוד א', חס עמוד א'. We're 2, 4, 7 lines down. Tanya Nami Yochi. We just saw a number of psukim showing the chashivus, the importance. Just saw a number of psukim showing the importance of tefillah b'tzibur. That when the tzibur is davening, it's an especially auspicious time. The most direct nafkamina of that being daven with the tzibur. We've seen even more than that. Davening when the tzibur davens is in and of itself a good idea, even if you're not with them at the time, because that is a time when Hashem Kiviyachol is in a good disposition. So now let's continue. Tanya Nami Yochi, the seventh line. Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a braisa corroborating this. Rabbi Nosson Oimer, Minayin She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moyes B'Tfiloson Shel Rabin. How do we know that Hashem will never reject the tefillah of the many, meaning a tzibur? Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Hein keil kabir velo yim'as. Hashem, the mighty or the great, will not reject. So we saw the other day was that here we're translating, even though the simple understanding of the pasuk is Hein El Kabir Velo Yimas, we say the great Hashem will not reject. We're construing this pasuk to mean the Kael Kabir Velo Yimas, he will not reject the great, meaning he will not reject a tefillah done on a great scale, a tefillah done virabi. Uksiv, and in another pasuk says Hado Bishalom Nafshi Mikrovli. David HaMelech says Hashem has redeemed my life from all the battles that were surrounding me. Why? So as we saw earlier, the pasuk continues, Ki verabim hayu imadi, because the many were with me, meaning I davened together with many. Okay. Now, before we go on to see the Gemara's next statement, I just want to give two perspectives. There are two different angles on the greatness of a tefillah b'tzibur. First of all, kvod shamayim. People get together to daven and it makes a commotion, and therefore you have the honor of Hashem is being manifested through the tefillah b'tzibur. So for example, you should think that when you're saying nikadesh shimcha ba'olam, the kedusha, really kedusha is just expressing what you're doing when you're getting together with the tzibur to daven at any time. What are you doing when you say kedusha? You have here in this world, what's going on in the upper worlds? In the upper world, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh is going on all the time. Hashem's glory is apparent. That's what the Malachim are busy with all the time. Now, here in this world, we, certain pockets in this world where the same thing is going on, we're manifesting Hashem's glory. Kvoid Shamayim. That's the most basic aspect of what the greatness of Tefillah B'Tzibur is. It's a campaign, it's an endeavor of Kvod Shamayim. It's an endeavor of Kvod Shamayim. Getting together to daven with the tzibur, don't just get caught on what you're davening for. Realize what's going on here. This is an endeavor of Kvod Shamayim. It's a mitzvah in and of itself, besides just the tefillah. But there's another aspect of tefillah with tzibur. And that's basically the idea that we've been seeing from the Maharal, which we're going to see that brought out soon also. Tefillah b'tzibur, the way we've been putting it up till now, it creates a unit that already rises above the individual. It's not 10 individuals davening together. It's already a unit, a mini Klal Yisrael. See, there are many halachic aspects of the idea that there's an entity called a tzibur. Tzibur is not when a bunch of people get together. When a bunch of people get together, it turns into a tzibur, which is a different entity. It's Klal Yisrael, a general Klal Yisrael. Yeah. No, there's no maximum, and in that sense, the Maharal says, in this sense, there's no difference between 10 and 10,000. It's all the same thing, in this sense, that you already have a unit that's called Klal Yisrael. It's, in a sense, a mini complete Klal Yisrael. Hashem always relates favorably to Klal Yisrael as a whole. 10 people is already Klal Yisrael as a whole. I'm sorry? We can have a tzibur with Rishayim in it. That's true. Oh, what happens if it's a tzibur that's all Rishayim? Well, first we'll say that if the tzibur is getting together to daven, how bad of Rishayim can they be? Yeah, at that moment. Right. But the truth is that yes, even when we're talking about a tzibur, there are still different levels of tzibur. Meaning, tzibur already turns it into a different entity of a yachid. But as long as at the end of the day, the truth is, as long as at the end of the day they are shomrei Torah, if they're not shomrei Torah, the truth is you don't have a tzibur either. Right? If they're not Torah observers, they don't count for a minyan. You don't have a tzibur. But once it's people who are, in the broad sense, observant, shomrei Torah mitzvahs, and they're getting together to form a tzibur now, the individuals, averus, don't matter right now. There aren't individuals. A person who's not observant can't count towards a minion. Yeah. What's that? Towards a minion? People who are not observant, that people who don't keep the basics, don't count towards a minion. But Moshe Feinstein has a legal tzfus. People think that they... He talks about counting towards a minion people who drive to shul in the car. So he says that since they think they're keeping Shabbos, they would not necessarily be called official Mechalulei Shabbos. They might count towards the minyan. But in general, a person who doesn't, who's not observant, would not count towards the minyan. Generally. So, that's really aspect number two. What's that? The Bifayasim, meaning the general Gdarim of Mumer, whatever it is. So in that sense, you're actually creating a unit of Klal Yisrael. Now the truth is that each additional person contributes more. Each additional person contributes more. But once you have 10, you already have that base that already rises above the concept of individual people getting together, turns it into an entity called Tzibur, an entity called a Klal Yisrael. Hashem always relates favorably to a Klal Yisrael. So now, you want to say something? No. No. The person, if the only place of service you have available is a Reform shul, they're not davening, and they're getting together to anger Hashem. I hate to put it that way, but that's what's going on. Men and women are getting together to daven together. They're getting together to anger Hashem. They're spiting Hashem. I guess that's as liberal as you can possibly get. Yeah. What's that? If you're in the section of the separate, I don't know what to say. Yeah. That he was once in a... This is the best yet. No, you have mixed temples. But he was in a temple that had two sections. A separate seating section and a mixed seating section. Then he went into three. Yeah. Basically, you have to say that when you have the transition of, it's like Rav Shimshon Rav Hirsch said, Maria Kaplan said, it's not about, we don't serve Hashem our way, we serve Hashem His way. Once it changes into, we'll tell Hashem how things should work, it's not called serving Hashem anymore. not serving Hashem. So it's not a tzibur getting together to serve Hashem. Okay. Now, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, in this light, let's see this next statement. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol HaOisek BeTorah UBeGmilus Chasadim. If a person engages in Torah and in Chesed, or Mispalel Im HaTzibur, he davens with the Tzibur, Ma LaAni Olam, I count it, Gilup Da'ani Li ULeBonai MiBein Umas HaOlam, as though he redeemed me and my children from the nations of the world. What Mashiach, person who does these three things, meaning he makes an occupation out of these three things, a regular part of his life, these three things. That's a powerful statement. What's that? What's that? The my Pada Mishalim Nafshi. Oh, right. So what's being said here? So we're learning this out of that same pasuk that says Pada Mishalim Nafshi. You redeemed with peace my soul. Right? This is the pasuk we cited before to show the chashivas of the Tefillah B'Tzibur. Pada Mishalim Nafshi Mikrovli Kibarabim Ayu Imadi. You redeemed in peace my soul from the battle surrounding me because the many were with me. So now we're putting an emphasis on the Pada B'Shaloim Nafshi. And now all of a sudden we're turning it into Hashem talking instead of David HaMelech talking. David HaMelech is talking on behalf of Hashem. Hashem says, you redeemed in peace my soul. So we're changing that to mean, you redeemed through peace my soul. Through engaging in peace, Hashem says, you're redeeming my soul, you're redeeming me. That's what Hashem is saying. Through engaging in peace, you're redeeming me. Now, what is peace? So peace, what is shalom? So shalom includes Torah learning and chesed. Why? We've already explained. What is shalom? Shalom we translate as peace. In the most basic way, it means getting along with your neighbor, not fighting with him over the driveway. But the concept of shalom really means a lot more than that. We know shalom is the name of Hashem. Shalom denotes perfect harmony. That's what shalom denotes. When everything is running as it should be. Hakol al mekoyim ayom b'shalom means everything is as it should be. That's what shalom is. And that's why Chazal say, "Imlecha kli mafsik tova, k'maya shalom." What's the greatest source of blessing is shalom. Shalom means when you have Hashem completely shining his face on something and everything just works out perfectly. Any problems are the result of Hashem's hester. Of Hashem, so to speak, concealing himself. And that's why we express our request to Shalom by saying, Barchenu avinu kolanu ke'echad ba'or panecha. Shine on us your face, right? Yoyer Hashem panav elecha. And because Kayanim we say, Hashem will shine his face on us, and that causes Shalom. Everything is in its right state. Harmony. All kinds of different things, but it's all running right. The whole system is running right. So therefore, Torah is Shalom. Why? Torah is the picture of how the world should run. You know, the world, what's the purpose of the world? The purpose of the world is a setting within which Torah can materialize. What Torah? Us keeping the Torah. That's the purpose of the world. A stage upon which the Torah performs in real life, our real life. That really is Shalom. Shalom ultimately means a world running according to the Torah. A world in which the Torah is being performed optimally. That is the epitome of Shalom, harmony. Everything is working out perfectly. That's Torah. Therefore, Torah is Shalom. Obviously, Ben Adam Al-Khaveri is also Shalom. Because a big part of the harmony is Hashem is not interested in a whole bunch of millions of individuals each doing their own thing. Hashem is interested in a Klal Yisrael. One Klal Yisrael, really at the roots, we are really all one neshama. When you go further back up, we really are all one neshama. Each of us is one aspect of that general neshama called Knesset Yisrael. That's the concept of Klal Yisrael HaRevenzel, is it? Really, it's all one big body. In this world, each person represents a different molecule in the body. And it's up to you to make sure that that part of the body is healthy. It's really one big body. And a very, very important part of that is no walls between Jews. No separation between Jews. The more you feel just merged one entity with the Jews around you, the more optimal your Judaism is. That's what the Maharal stresses that all the time. But that's why he says so many of the Kinyanei Torah, right? There are 48 methods of acquiring Torah. So many of them are issues of Ben Adam HaChaveru. Why? The Maharal says again and again and again, the Torah was not given to the individual. The Torah was given to the klal. The more you're a part of the klal, the more of a receptacle for Torah you are. So therefore, Gmilus Chasadim. Gmilus Chasadim is also showing. It creates that perfect harmony. You don't have a bunch of different people, each with their own agenda. The more you turn the people around you into a part of your agenda, like the more their welfare is your personal concern, the more you're blending in with the klal, the more Jews are simply merging with each other, that's shalom. So that's why Pada b'shalom nafshi. Hashem says through shalom. And what is shalom? Taira chesed, which is the world performing optimally. And also tefillah b'tzibur. Maral says that tefillah b'tzibur is also a very important part of this. What? That's right. The going says that it corresponds to those three things. Tefillah b'tzibur is basically the same idea. The Maral says, again, the same idea. By a tzibur coming together, it turns from individuals into a klal Yisrael. Tzibur coming together provides a klal Yisrael. And therefore, he says, really, what is the whole tragedy of Golus? Maral says that the root of Golus is the piwud, the pizur, the fact that klal Yisrael is dispersed. You take a china plate, that's basically what happened to the Golus. You take a china plate, you drop it on the floor, and now the problem is that your china plate is dispersed. That's Klal Yisrael in Golus. The point is to bring, weld it all together. When you have a tzibur coming together to serve Hashem, that is already a manifestation of the Geula. That's a manifestation of the Geula.
From the Torah in certain ways, always in the bounds of Allah, you know, and nevertheless, you know, like they use it as a springboard for, you know, that seems like Torah is doing the opposite. Like it's
awesome. But Malcolm is asking a very good question. Sometimes it seems as though the Torah is actually cause for separation. Now, this has to be answered on two levels, the positive level and the negative level. There is a level of diversity that is blessing. And then there's diversity that's very problematic. We see the Torah dictating diversity. There are Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Right? There are 12 Shvatim, and the Torah insists on maintaining the boundaries between the Shvatim. Right? Shevet has to remain a Shevet. Why? Why don't they all just blend together? So the truth is, that's after the word I've been using is harmony. Davka. Not just unity. If you have a 120-piece orchestra playing the same notes at the same time, it's a headache. You do better with just one or two instruments. Harmony is when it's in perfect synchrony, each one's doing something else. Each one's doing something else, but the general agenda is the same, and they're creating one beautiful picture of harmony. There is a level of diversity which is encouraged. Because it provides us with that harmony. For example, this question many times. What is the optimal profession for a Jew? What's the profession a Jew should engage in? If you're able. What?
Insurance.
What? Insurance. There you go. Any other suggestions? A bit of an uncomfortable question, because what if I don't say what you do? The answer is there is no optimal profession, or every profession is optimal. This is lamaisa. That's really what the point of the Shvatim was. Hashem wants His glory to be brought out. Hashem's glory can be brought out in so many different ways, and there's no such thing as one person who can do it all. For example, a businessman demonstrates loyalty to Hashem through being honest in his dealings, and through being meticulous about the different halakhas of money, which a kollel person, let's say, can't do. He doesn't have the opportunity. He's never going to be demonstrating that aspect. Now, in business, there isn't much room. Yeah, there's certain levels of, everyone has the chesed that comes into their life, but that's not what you're doing in business. Then you have the doctor. This is a profession of chesed. Here also we see that doctors can relate to it in two ways. Either business is business, or you have an agenda of being as sensitive and as caring as you can. That's where a doctor can excel. Each profession, everything, every occupation that a person does, whatever situation you are in life, provides you with unique opportunities to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim. Now, it's also more than that, because what happens if you have 10,000 from doctors, but each one is working in a different community, with a different personality, with different patients, with his own challenges? That's part of the idea when we said before, really it's one neshama, but each of us represents a different element of it. There's no point in having two Jews do the same thing. And no two Jews ever did. As many millions of Jews as there were in history, that's how many different millions of life stories there were. Each one is a completely different story. Each one is a very essential component in the picture of that one body of Klal Yisrael is ultimately developing in the end of days. So therefore, yes, diversity on that level is a very great thing. But we'll get to the but. But before the but,
the Shvatim themselves.
The Shvatim. Oh,
they,
one minute.
They didn't have diversity. I mean,
they did.
I mean, unless it's just like as a amount of diversity.
There was diversity among the Shvatim. There were certain characteristics that different Shvatim have that others didn't. I'll give a few examples. Even though with the Shvatim it's very broad, but it's representative of the concept. I'll give a couple of examples.
Right.
That's not, by the Shvatim, it wasn't an issue of professions. By the Shvatim, it was more of an issue of racial characteristics, if we'll put it that way. Say, for example, Chazal tell us, you can often feel uncomfortable learning Chazal, as it seemed to imply, or even Shvatim, seems to imply, that there were more superior Shvatim and inferior Shvatim. How do you understand that? Right? Chazal tell us, Dan was from the more was from the inferior Shvatim, right? Because I'll say that Levi is from the most sublime Shvatim. Yehuda was sublime in a different way. What's the pshat in that? The pshat is a different Shvatim. Yes, they had different and national Shvatim. By the way, are referred to as Amim. Amim har yikro. Shvatim are 12 nations. Kind of like the United States, right? Different states joined together as one unit. The Shvatim are, so to speak, different nations. It was like that in the earlier times. They were different styles, almost different cultures. And what it means, for example, I'll just say this in a very general way, even though we don't really know what the idea is. But isn't it also a little bit uncomfortable? We know that all 12 were Shivteka. And yet we see these different differentiations between the children, the Shvatim from the Imahais, and the Shvatim from the Shvachais, the ones from Bila and Zilpah. Isn't it a little bit uncomfortable? Like, why is it like that? But the answer is that yes, these other Shvatim, and again, we're talking about levels that are beyond us, but on whatever level it was, these other Shvatim were less naturally conducive, meaning they had a more natural, they had a harder time in Ruchnias than the greater Shvatim. If I'll use a coarse example, we'll say that they naturally didn't have as good heads. Even though I don't think that that's the pshat. Didn't have as good heads. I don't think that's the pshat. Whatever it is, there was more of a natural refinement in Shvatim like Yehuda, etc. There was more potential there. These ones dealt with more coarse personalities again, on a fine level, okay, on a fine level, but in a subtle way. These ones had more coarse personalities, the others naturally had better personalities. The point being that each one is Mekadosh and Shemayim through serving Hashem with the individual koichos that he got. Now in a very broad way, each shevet was different in that sense. And it's true. Yisachar, apparently, were more blessed with more of a conduciveness just for dedicating themselves only to Torah learning. Levi, we know, Kohanim Ratchonim Heim and Kohanim Zrizim Heim. Right? They had a much more passionate nature and a much more zealous nature. And they could be much more relied on because of that. They were very, very passionate about anything that they did. Zvulun, in a general way, had more of a business nature. Different other shvatim had more of a farming nature, in a general way. I'm sure that every shevet had its tamid chachamim, we know that they did, and every shevet had its businessmen, every shevet had its farmers. But there were general characteristics that defined the different shvatim. We see that it's like that now also, at the end of the day, right, Jews, today also. Then they came from different origins biologically. But you know, you have Jews who come from different places in the world, and in a broad way, you can say that Jew from that nationality might have those properties, from this nationality has other properties, even though there will always be exceptions to the rule. But the point is that, yes, Hashem created Klal Yisrael with a diversity that was meant to be preserved, and it was meant to be nurtured, and that's part of the glory of Klal Yisrael. Now, of course, that could turn into a problem, just a second. That could turn into a problem, and it did turn into a problem, when it turns into petty competitiveness. At the end of the day, we're talking about humans who have to take these things in the right way. There's always room for failure. It did turn in, back in those days, it turned into petty competitiveness among the lower levels of the nation. Right? We know that there was competition between different shvatim. There's always that certain Ephraim and Yehuda were always, there was a certain tension between them. And there was a certain tension between Menashe and Ephraim. You look in Tanakh, you see that there were tensions that existed between different shvatim. There's a certain competition. Yes, that is going to be the test of diversity. That's the test of diversity. So the truth is today, who's more correct? The style of Yiddishkeit that puts more of an emphasis on the mystical approach, more prevalent among Sfardim, let's say, okay? More of an emphasis on the mystical approach, or, let's say, what today we'll call the Lithuanian, cold intellectual, or if we'll go back earlier, right, the Rambam's rational approach, or the Rambam's Kabbalistic approach. Which is the right way? Answer is, the Torah is very big. No one person can contain all the different approaches and angles that a person can approach Torah to. And that's exactly what we're saying here in our Gemara. When a tzibur comes together, you're bringing together individuals. Each one can't contain what the other one does. So you're a doctor, great. But you don't have the schus of honesty in business. And you're a businessman. You don't have the schus of caring for patients with patience and care. You bring the two together, along with another eight, right? And all of a sudden, you have a cloud. You have a much more complete and all-encompassing picture of Klal Yisrael. That's the concept of tzibur. That is the concept of tzibur. Each person comes and contributes his own unique individual share to the tzibur. There was never anybody like him before in history. That's the concept of tzibur. See? Oh, that's right. That's a perfect example of this idea. That's right. That's a perfect example. A Jew can't do the Yisrael can't do the mitzvahs of a Levi. A Kohen can never perform the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. Right? A person who Nebuch, brother, didn't die, can't do the mitzvah of Yibum. So that's right. That's right. The Torah. Again, you come back to the Maharal. Yeah. The diversity that comes together to form harmony. Each one is a different note, but it comes together. And of course, yes, we have to rise above the petty levels of diversity that can develop from it. From Beit Shemesh is a very good place to practice that. I don't know if there's anywhere in the world that brings together such a broad diversity of Jews like Ramat Beit Shemesh. I don't know if there's anywhere else that has, they're coming from all over the world in such close, small quarters. Maybe there is, but I don't know. Ramat Beit Shemesh is certainly outstanding in that sense. And it's a good place to practice. Sometimes you sense that you just can't relate to these people. Nothing in common with them. There's nothing in common with them. You know why you have nothing in common with a particular type of Jew? Because you're blessed to live in a place that's full of Jews. Who would be you and that fellow living in some town out in the middle of the, the only two Jews in sight, you'd find that, hey, 1 minute, 95% of our lives are actually pretty similar. There's 5% of difference. You have to be able to overcome the tests of living among Jews too. Okay. Fine. Every Jew is the same. That's right. That's right. Okay. Now, just to add something that the Mabit says here. It's a very chashuv point. He asks a question that people often struggle with. He gives a different take on what's the idea of as though you bought the geula. So he says, question that many people ask. Sometimes you daven for the geula, you feel like it's a lost cause in the first place. Think of all the great people in the past who davened for the geula. Never happened. Right, the Ramban davened for the geula, and Rabbi Akiva davened for the geula. They weren't answered. Well, you really think that our tefillahs are going to be answered? So the Mabit says, we'll put this into a mashal. He says, the geula requires a certain amount of avodah on the part of Klal Yisrael and a certain amount of tefillah on the part of Klal Yisrael, both in quantity and in quality. And the previous generation, Hashem knows exactly how much it is, he says. Hashem knows exactly how much it is. And we can be sure that the Ramban and Rabbi Gibeiger and the Vilna Gaon with all their tefillahs were filling that gap fast and furious. They were filling it and filling it, just it wasn't full all the way. Now it's true, our tefillahs are much less powerful than those tefillahs. But we only have to fill in the holes that are left. There's only a little bit. We don't know exactly how much it is. But it's not that we're trying to do something that they tried and failed. We're building on top of what they did. We don't know exactly how much is left. But a little bit more. So the Mabit says, Kilup Da'ani means, you get together with the Tzibur, you are making your effort to maximize your tefillahs, like we said before. Tefillah with the Tzibur goes much further than a tefillah alone, no matter how hard you daven. The Rishonim stressed that, by the way. The Rishonim stressed that. Rabbeinu Bachaya stresses that. Either Rabbeinu Bachaya or Rabbeinu Yehuda, I don't remember. Don't think I'll daven better if I'm on my own. I'll daven with more kavanah. That's exactly what this Gemara is coming to stress. Tefillah with the tzibur is always more powerful. So he says, you're doing your part, therefore you have added your bricks. You've added your bricks to the building. It's ultimately going to be Mashiach. And that, yes, when Mashiach comes, you will then see your clear share in having it, making it happen. You'll see your clear share, distinctly, your contribution to bringing Moshiach. So the Sfarnas says that in the time of the Mishkan, this is how it's going to work. In the time of the Mishkan, what did they donate to the Mishkan? They didn't donate money. They donated materials that were going to be used in the Mishkan. Why? Sfarnas says part of the point was that each person should be able to identify his part of the Mishkan. That's what's going to happen. That's what's saying, Kilub Dani Loyal Banai. Hashem's saying, you did it. You did it. It's there. You had your contribution to the goal. You'll see later. Okay, we'll move on. Did the Shvatim have a different Nusach and Tefillah? I don't know. But that's another example of this idea. The different scholars that we have of tefillah today, Lamaisa, the Sfarim say that if in earlier times, somehow or the other, I don't know exactly what this means, they were able to contain the full gamut of kavanas in the tefillah that they all davened. Today, the different scholars that have become established are each affecting a different, hitting in a different place, which all has to be hit. So yes, the Mishkan is another example of the blessed diversity of Klal Yisrael. But there is such a concept. And it's in 12 Shvatim. Yeah. Okay. Now Amar Reish Lakish. Now we move on to a separate related point. Komishiyeshle betakneses bi'iroi. A person who has a shul in his town, but he doesn't go into daven. Nikra Shochein Ra. He's called a bad neighbor. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Koyoma Hashem. So says Hashem. Al Kol Shcheinai Haroim. This is what I say about all of my bad neighbors. Hanoigim Benachla Hashem Chalti Es Ami Es Yisrael, who are detrimentally affecting the inheritance that I granted my nation, Klal Yisrael. Hashem has bad neighbors. Who's that? To realize what a shul is. A shul is Hashem living in your neighborhood. Hashem is one of the members of your community, kiviyachol. And you're ignoring his house. What sort of neighbor is that? You're not associating with the Hashem who's a member of your community? Hashem is residing in your community. He's inviting you in. You're ignoring it. That's called a bad neighbor. An unfriendly neighbor, Tasha. We grow up with shuls. So sometimes you have to step back from it. You certainly hear the greatness of what it means to have a shul. You know, everybody has a shul. You have to realize how great it is that everybody has a shul. How great the shul in your neighborhood is. The house of Hashem. What's that? Oh, the truth is that it's both. Let's see. It's both. The Prisha and the Maharal. The Maharal says that there's an aspect of both. It's also the Prisha says. The Pashta Pshat is like what we just said now. You have Hashem as a neighbor. You're ignoring his presence. You're davening at home. Very nice. But you know that Hashem is here. You can come talk to him directly. Who needs your tefillas? But there's also the other aspect. Again, if we're going to go with the understanding that we've been stressing the whole time for the Maharal, that actually, what is a tzibur? A tzibur is each person contributing to the shleimus of Klal Yisrael. When a person doesn't come, he's a bad neighbor to his neighbors. That's the other aspect of it. He's a bad neighbor to his neighbors. He's robbing them of the opportunity to create a more complete Klal Yisrael, because he has his contribution that he can contribute to that picture, and that would make all of their tefillos worth so much more. Each individual contributes so much more. If so, yeah, he's a bad neighbor for the rest of his neighbors. He's robbing them all of what they could achieve. Okay. Now, v'loy oy, not only that, you can cause himself to be exiled by doing that. Shenema, it says in the pasuk, "Hineni noitcham al admosam v'speis Yehuda etoish mitoicham." I'm going to send them off their land. What's the idea here? The idea here also. What is the purpose of Eretz Yisrael? What's the purpose of living in Eretz Yisrael? The purpose of living in Eretz Yisrael is to live with Hashem. If you don't appreciate that, now. You ignore the shul in your neighborhood, that means that you don't need that. You don't need that. You don't need Eretz Yisrael either. You can go to Galus. Oh, purpose of Eretz Yisrael is mamish, the same purpose is coming to shul. You have other purposes in living in Eretz Yisrael. Oh. We don't need you here. Okay. What's that? Well, the sentence is really just the result of him. It's just the result of him being exiled. If he's exiled, his kids are going to be in exile too. That's one of the examples where children will suffer the consequences of what their parents' mistakes. Now, Amru Leila Rabbi Echmas. Once we're on this subject, we'll see the opposite side of the coin also. Again, what are we saying here? We're saying here that the whole purpose of living in Eretz Yisrael is in order to live with Hashem. You show that you're not interested in that, you have no right to live in Eretz Yisrael. So Amalei Rabbi Yechanan, he told Rabbi Yechanan, Ike Savi beBavel. There are elderly people in Babel. Old men. Tama, he was surprised. The Omar. And he said, really? There can be people living long in Chutz Laretz. Says, you and your children will have long days on the land. What land is that? Eretz Yisrael. Avol bechutz la'aretz loy. Not in chutz la'aretz. Long land, sorry, long life is a privilege of Eretz Yisrael. So kivan de amrile. So they told Rabbi Yochanan, mekadmi u'machashcha lebeknishne. These people, they make a point of coming in the morning, early in the morning to shul. Late at night, they come for shachris, they come for ma'ariv. Omar, he said, oh, that answers the question. Haynu da haniluhu. That's why they merited this. Ki da Omar of Yeshua ben Levi libnot b'nei. We know that, yes, coming to shul has that property. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to tell his children, kadimu v'chashichu v'aylu l'beknishtu. Get up early. Stay up late at night. And even if it means staying up later to go to Meirin. Come to shul. So that you will have long life. Because, again, what's the idea? The idea of what is the shul? Shul is a place where Hashem's presence resides. So it has the same schus of Eretz Yisrael. Just like we saw before, a person who's not interested in coming to shul is losing the purpose of being in Eretz Yisrael. It's also the opposite. A person who lives in Chutz Laaretz, who makes a point of being in shul regularly, has the schus of being in Eretz Yisrael. He'll get the same promises that the people in Eretz Yisrael get. That's actually the pshat. And Gemara that says that yes, the shuls and the Batei Knesses and Batei Midrashos of Chutz Laaretz will ultimately come to Eretz Yisrael. Meaning they have the same status as Eretz Yisrael. A person can be connected to Eretz Yisrael by settling himself, becoming a permanent resident in a shul. Let's understand, it's a little more than this. It goes a little deeper than this. We know that Hashem is called Mokoy. Right? Hashem is referred to as the place. What does that mean? Hashem is the place. What it means is, Chazal say Hashem is Mekoy Moshel Olam. He's the place of the world. Meaning what? He's the basis of all existence. Any existence is based on Him. Meaning He's the ground under your feet. Give me up. Everything is based on Him. So therefore, the stronger, the more quality, the stronger you want your existence to be, make sure to base yourself better. Like the more firmly you're standing on the base, the more firm your existence will be. So therefore, yes, Eretz Yisrael is conducive for long life. That's where Hashem's presence is. You're in Eretz Yisrael, you're firmly based, you're solidly based. You can do the same thing in Chutz Laaretz also. By firmly basing yourself in a base Hashem, in a house of Hashem, you are firmly based. You're on good. You're on solid ground. And therefore, yes, that's how they earned the school of long life in Chutz Laaretz as well. Yeah, these basically meaning that yes, the shuls and Batei Medrash have the status of Eretz Yisrael in this sense. Okay. There's also more than that. You know that every creature, every animal has its environment. Right? It has its climate, it has its conditions, its living conditions it needs to live in. If you want to take an animal from the North Pole to a zoo in New York, you have to create appropriate living conditions, otherwise it's going to die quickly. Right? You can't take a polar bear to a tropical area. This is Klal Yisrael's environment is Hashem. And therefore, that's basically what Rabbi Yochanan meant. That's how I understood this pasuk that says, sure, in Eretz Yisrael they can live long. Eretz Yisrael, a Jew can live long because that's his environment. You move into Chutz Laaretz, which is not Hashem's domain, so to speak. He's not with Hashem. He's not where Hashem is residing. He's outside his environment. That's like it's like a polar bear that you move to the tropical forest. But if you establish a base Hashem in Chutz Laaretz also, you have created that same environment. You created the same living conditions. And therefore, yes, you have to be, not just that you come to shul here and there, it's got to be a regular part of your life. You have to say, yes, shul is my environment. Shul, the mismatch, is my environment. Then yes, you're living in your proper living conditions. Okay. Omar Abi Achav Rabbi Chanina, my crop. What's the pasuk that's the basis for this? Ashrei Odom Shemeali Vishkod Yaldal Seisa Yoyim Yoyim. Fortunate is the man who listens to me to diligently come to my doors every day, the Shmor Mezuzah Pischai, to be vigilant about the doorposts of my entrances, Ksiv Basrei, and then it says, Ki Moitzi Motzo Chaim, those who find me find life. Meaning, the people will make a point of seeking out the doorways to Hashem's place every day, will find life. No, the next pasuk says Ki Moitzi Motzo Chaim, those who find me find life. The next pasuk afterwards. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda just finishes this off. Once we're talking about entering shuls, we finish this off with the halacha. La'olam yikanes adam shnei psachim beveis hakneses. A person should walk through two entrances when he comes to shul. That's an interesting halacha. So the Gemara says shnei psachim sakadaita. Two entrances. What if the shul only has one entrance? What do you mean you have to come through two entrances? Ela ema. Rather, what we mean is, yeah, shul can have only one entrance, but shir shnei psachim. You have to come in the distance of two entrances. Two entrances is an entrance in halacha, in order to be defined as an entrance, is four tfachim. So two entrances is eight tfachim. You have to enter a distance of eight tfachim, and then you dab. Now, this is the halacha. It's just taken in two ways. This is a machlokes exactly what this means. Rashi says that it means enter a distance of eight tfachim, literally, meaning don't daven near the door. Come all the way in, at least eight tfachim into the shul. Because otherwise it looks like you're trying to rush out. Right, you're right near the door, you're ready to spring out the second finish Shemoneh Esrei. What's that?
Unless that's your mark.
Unless?
Ah,
well, we'll see. If that's the pshat, well, let's see. That's an implication of this pshat. The other pshat is that it's talking time, it's not talking distance. The point is, don't rush in already davening. Don't tumble into davening. Come in, sit down for at least the amount of time it takes to go eight tfachim. Klal, the more time you can spend before davening settling your mind is a good idea. But at least eight tfachim. You sit down, give yourself a break of, let's say, 15 seconds before you start davening. That's right. That's the idea of ashrei. Settle your mind before you start davening. So it's either time-wise or distance-wise. Now, in either case, if you have a set place by the door, this shouldn't be a problem. If it's time-wise, for sure no problem. You can sit near the door, just sit down for half a minute before you start davening. It's place-wise also. He said the problem with the place is that you look like you're rushing out. But if that's your makam kavua, it doesn't have that appearance. But yet the place can say that still, you should avoid having a makam kavua by the door, because there's another pshat. You shouldn't be right by the door, where there's distractions, there's things going on outside. In any case, you should go further in. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that all these pshatim should be adhered to. A person should go deeper into the shul and spend a brief moment before actually starting to daven. And the Maral here also adds a little more significance to this halacha. You walk into a shul. We mentioned this concept before. You know that there's also halacha that walking to shul is an end in and of itself, right? Walking to shul is an end in and of itself. That's why, for example, the halacha is, you have two shuls, one closer, one farther, better to go to the farther shul. You're walking more. The Maral explained that to me because the action of walking towards Hashem is itself an act of drawing closer to Hashem. It's called an act of coming close to Hashem. Every extra step that you take towards Hashem, it also has a psychological effect if you're thinking of that. Right? If you're just rushing and not thinking of anything, it doesn't. When you are conscious of the fact, I'm approaching Hashem now, each step you take is having an effect on you. And therefore, the more steps, the better. So the Maral says the next level of this is in the shul. I'm already there, but I want to get even deeper in. I want to get closer to Hashem. Every extra step is drawing even closer to Hashem. It brings a medrash that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moyne Psiyo Yisecha. Hashem is counting the steps that you take to come closer towards Him. He says, yes, therefore it's a value in and of itself. You're already in the shul? Go deeper in. Go deeper in. Why is this expressed as two doors? Why couldn't you just say, go deep into the shul? Why does it express as two doors? So, here the Maharal says, and this is also others say, Rabbanu Shishka says the same thing. There are two doors you have to go through if you want to daven properly. First of all, you have to step out of your world. There's a lot going on, business, this, that, fights, all kinds of things on your mind. You have to step out of all your concerns, of all of your affairs. That's number one. That's halacha. You're supposed to clear your mind of everything going on. Now the next step is step into Hashem. Two stages of preparing to daven. Step out of everything going on, and the next step, focus on the fact that I am about to engage Hashem in face-to-face conversation, so to speak. Those are the shnei pesachim, the two doors that you go through. Same idea. Yeah, the next level. Okay.
If I'm late.
But yeah, okay.
And first month to go into the shul, but the people are already davening, so which trumps which? Is it like you're going to walk in front of again?
Shemoneh Esrei?
Yeah.
Is there in Shemoneh Esrei? No. It's absolutely forbidden to pass in front of another person. This is an Indian.
Right.
This is an
Indian.
Okay, we will end here. I just want to note, Take again, that tonight in the Kuzari Shul, we have a special appearance.